Well, I'm going to do something just a little bit different. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, that's not different. But if you would turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, we will get to 2 Timothy. But I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning to that, I've been thinking about fragrances. And you go in a florist shop. I go there once in a while, and I do that for my wife. And it is a blessing to be able to get flowers for her. And I'd much rather, as she told me, give me the flowers now so I can smell them. Don't wait till my funeral. Makes sense, does it not? So I try to do that once in a while. And the odors that you get in there are really unique. Or you walk through the fragrances area of a cosmetic department. Some stores are big enough that when it's all out in the open, you walk through there to get out of them, out into the mall. Like down here at the mall, and the different smells. And then you think of all the things that people put on their bodies to make them smell different than what people think they should smell like. And then some don't use it, and they still have an odor. You know how that works. That just seems to be. Well, the other day, Ruth and I were driving on 30th Avenue, and this odor came wafting into our car. Someone ran over a skunk. The windows were down, and out went the other bad air, and in came the better air. I didn't say good air, just better. And it's amazing. And then you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let me just read, if you are following along. It says in verse 5, "Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not just to me," says Paul, "but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you in the church at Corinth. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough," majority of the local church. "So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, that or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive indeed. What I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." Moving down to verse 14. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Sort of like Regency. "For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." You'll notice several things that I read. One is the pain of offense in the first little bit that I read, where there were offenses in the church at Corinth. There were a lot of problems in that church. They had a lot of good things. They knew all about spiritual gifts. They had so many things, but in fact, they had many problems. And Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to take care of some of those concerns that came to him, as well as what he knew of. And as he wrote, he confronted the sins of the people, and the people then disciplined them. The church took them to the place of discipline. But then he says, now as a majority, you have disciplined these individuals. Now you need to start the other way. Discipline, supposedly in the church, is not revenge. It's not criticism and judgment. God already has judged them. It is restorative. It is to bring them back into a relationship with the whole body, that they may not continue in their sin, but be back in the place where they can fellowship and grow in Christ and prove that they are who they said they were and that they were seriously aware that they had confessed their sin to God and have been forgiven. So he says to them, now it's time for you to forgive them. It's time for you to reaffirm your love for them. It's time for you to restore them to the place of fellowship. Don't continue to shun them and put them aside. Bring them in and show your love. Discipline that I've ever been involved in is never fun. It's a sad thing when a brother or sister has to be disciplined. I have been there and done it. I don't like it. But sometimes it's necessary. I love the result when they come back into fellowship. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes in our culture, they don't come back. They don't get back into fellowship. They just leave. They take their baggage with them and they find fellowship in another church. And the churches don't work together to make sure that they get rid of that baggage before they go on and try to walk with the Lord. That's one of the sad parts. But some respond well and they come back. And then Paul begins in verse 14, but thanks be to God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he found Titus. He was looking for Titus because he sent Titus to Corinth to find out how did they respond to the first letter he wrote. And he was supposed to come back, but he didn't come back. And Paul was concerned about him, and so he then went from where he was to Troas. And still no Titus. But when he got to Troas, he said God opened a door to him, and so he preached. And he saw people come to the Lord, but he still had in his mind he needed to find Titus. And eventually he moved on and he found Titus. And there they were able to say that things were going well. And he says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. I was thinking about what is Paul talking about? He's already said who they were. He's already said that they were leaders that were sincere in verse 17, that they were commissioned by God, that they were working in the sight of God to speak in Christ. They were teaching properly. They were doing things right. But when he's talking about this triumphal march, he's got in his mind the march of a triumphant general who has come back a victorious one. He has conquered a nation. Now he has come back. Now, apparently, this didn't happen the moment they got back to town. Let me read what Barclay says about the triumphal march, what it entailed. Now, I won't use all his words because I don't have time. And I'd have to have his book here to go through it. But he said, first, there were the state officials and the Senate. They led the way. Then there were trumpeters. Then there were the spoils that were taken from the conquered land. Now just think about it. Here's all the leaders, and then there's the trumpeters, and then there's all the spoils being carried along, I don't know, maybe on carts or whatever the place, being brought along as well. All the spoils they took in the battle. Then there were pictures of the conquered land. Now they didn't have Kodak. They didn't have Minolta. They didn't have whatever kind of cameras that we have today. So they must have painted these pictures. But they had these pictures of the land that they conquered. And it also says that they had models of conquered citadels and models of taken ships. So either they were built ahead of time Or they had them in a museum or whatever, I don't know. But they had those as well, displayed as this long entourage of people coming along. Then there was a white bull for sacrifice. Then there were the captive leaders, some of which they brought back, maybe including princes and generals from the defeated nation. Then there were musicians. Then there were a group of priests, and they had incense. And they had this sweet smell or aroma or fragrance of incense. And they would carry that along. Then there was the general, riding in a chariot, dressed in purple. Beautiful tunic. Then behind him came his family. Following his family, the army. The army that went with the general. And the army was shouting, "Triumph!" Now that's a long presentation to honor this general. They said sometimes it was only once in a lifetime would a general ever have such a marvelous entourage. Paul said, "Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph." As Terry said, we're a part of the kingdom of God, and we have the King of Kings as our leader, and he always leads in triumph. And one day, he will take us home to be with him. But think about it. As one writer said, the incense, that aroma, that fragrance. Those who were marching in that entourage were cheering. The incense was an aroma of victory. Except for those who were captured. That same aroma of incense was an aroma of death. Because those captives would be put to death. Now, Paul says that's the same as the gospel. To those who are believing, it's aroma of life to life. To those who do not believe the gospel, who do not believe that Jesus died for them, who do not believe that Jesus Christ paid for their sin, who do not believe that Jesus is the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. To them, it is the aroma of death to death. And then he talks about us. We are that aroma of Christ to God. How's the aroma from you? How's the aroma in our community from Bethany? Are we the aroma of Christ to God? It's not an aroma that we can get by putting something on to make us smell better. It's not the aroma that comes from an animal. It is who we are in Christ, and how we live and how we speak, and our attitudes and our motives and our participation within the body of Christ that sets that aroma. And that takes us to for 2 Timothy chapter 1. There are people there that demonstrate an aroma. The last three verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. I got so used to being in 1 Timothy, I'm like, "Pastor Peter, he said that last week." And he just, I don't know, you just automatically go there. Besides, one comes before two. You are, verse 15 of chapter 1, you are aware, he's writing to Timothy, You're aware, I don't have to inform you, you're aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me. When I asked for some to come to be my witnesses, they turned away. They did not come. Previously, it was talking about being ashamed of Christ, being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed. And I believe that's what it's talking about here. Among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Now, there's a number of things. First of all, he says to Timothy, you're already aware. I don't have to tell you about these two. They must have been leaders, I would think, in the church at Ephesus. They had influence in that church. Now they had influence and influenced people away from supporting Paul, away from helping, rather being ashamed. And he talks about those who refused to help him, who refused to come and to speak on his behalf. I was thinking about what it takes to make us ashamed of the Lord. What might possibly happen to us to cause us to be ashamed of the gospel? Maybe you're sitting there thinking of a time when you were ashamed of him. I wish I could say that never in my life was I ashamed of my Lord. But I would lie if I did that. Being in a crowd of people, a group of my friends, none of which knew the Lord. For most of my growing up, I did not have one friend in town who knew the Lord. Some were pretty good, but they didn't know him. And there were times when I could have been a much stronger witness, and I was not. And it was because of my pride and my desire to be accepted by my peers that I did not witness for him, and I was ashamed of him. Not because of what the Lord did or anything else, but because I was more about my own self-preservation and my own acceptance by my friends than I was about serving my Lord. I sat one day in the restaurant with a man. He was a man who was responsible for CFCN TV in Calgary to go through all the movies that came and try to pick the best to put on the TV. Now, if you see some of the stuff that I'm aware of as out there, I don't know how he ever kept his mind from being totally saturated with garbage. So we sat and had pizza that day. And I so wanted to talk to him about the Lord, and I so wanted him to still like me. And I so wanted to, and you had this, I thought, what is wrong with you? How can you allow this to happen? And I didn't have a piece of paper with me. I didn't have a tract with me. And what do I do? And anyway, we're eating pizza, and we each had a piece, and that's about as far as we got. And I said, I'd like to draw you a picture. Well, he knew I couldn't draw. He'd seen other things that I'd done, and I'm pretty good with stick figures most of the time, but that's about it. And so I drew two marks like this. It's backwards parentheses. No, this is a big gulf. Oh, you know, like a big Grand Canyon. Gotcha. And then I just began to talk about how does someone get from this side to this side without an airplane or a helicopter or a tightrope? And I drew a cross, very simple thing, and how it bridged. And I shared that with him. He said, "Can we go to your car and pray?" I was stunned. He came to know the Lord that day, and he walked with the Lord, and he changed his whole way. He chose the movies that went on TV, and he said, "It's hard to find good ones enough to put on TV, but I picked the best of the worst." And it reminded me again how God is already at work before you even get there. And I had to reassess, how much did I love my Lord? How much did I know about my Lord? Was it enough that I would in fact be willing to die for him? He died for me. He's an amazing Lord. I don't believe that Hermogenes and Phygellus had a fragrance of Christ to God. They were ashamed of him. I did not have that fragrance either. I did the day I talked to him. But there was one, Onesiphorus, and he came. And it says, he refreshed me often. I went on Google and asked them, just question, what does it mean to refresh? Well, I found out there's this kind of pop, and there's this kind of pop, and there's cool water, and there's... Interesting. Google hadn't read this yet. Well, maybe. I just wanted to see what we think of when we think of refreshing. It's interesting that this Onesiphorus means profit bearing. He was profitable to Paul. I think he was profitable in the church at Ephesus because he, in fact, apparently had already shown this, as Paul writes about him, that when he arrived in Rome, he came, but Timothy knew at Ephesus, he had already practiced this. You know, we need to be practicing what we know of the Lord while we have time here, because if God moves us or takes us to minister to someone in another situation, we already have the preparation and we've already been practicing, and God has been building in us what we are, what we need to be for him. And it says that he refreshed him, which means literally means to cool again. It's like a breath of fresh air. There are some people you see coming toward you and you just know it's going to be a heavy load. There's others who come toward you and you think, oh, this will be good because they're just like a breath of fresh air all the time. And he says, Onesiphorus was not ashamed of my chains. He was not afraid to be identified with Paul or his message. He was not ashamed. He had the fragrance of Christ to God. He was the fragrance of Christ to God, even as he worked with Paul. It says, when he came, he searched diligently to find, or earnestly, to find Paul. Now, being a prisoner, because of his faith, it's possible that a man of faith trying to find him could also be put in chains. You never knew what was going to happen at this time when Nero was around. And yet he persisted and he spent the time and the effort to find Paul. And he found him and he continued to refresh him. Do you know what it costs to refresh someone? It's not the price of a bottle of Coke. It costs you time. It costs you energy. It costs you commitment. It may cost you money. But it costs. And he refreshed him. And then Paul said, "May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord." When? On that day. In chapter 1 and verse 12, he uses the same statement, that day. In chapter 4 and verse 8, he uses the same word again, that day. Looking to the end, in my opinion. I'm not telling you exactly how it's going to fit into eschatology because we probably have six different ideas. But it'll be the right day. It'll be the day that God has set. And he just desires that Onesiphorus, who was the fragrance, I believe, of Christ to God and to those around him, and especially to Paul, that he would, on that day of accountability, be blessed by Almighty God. I don't know what it is that God might bring to you this week to show the fragrance of Christ to God. But he will. There will be some way that you can be the fragrance of Christ to God and to those around you. Be ready. Do it well. Make a beautiful aroma to God by being obedient to our loving Lord. He so desires that we be that fragrance. May God bless you richly. Let me pray. Father in heaven, you are merciful, a God of grace. And oh, how badly we need your mercy and your grace. How I thank you that you love us even when we fail you. How you loved us even while we were still in our sins. And the only reason we love you is because you loved us first. I thank you, Lord God, for forgiveness. I thank you for your mercy in allowing me still to serve you in spite of my failures. My sin. Thank you. Might I be the fragrance of Christ Jesus this week, first to you and then to those around me. Remind us, Lord God, every time we smell something different, something pleasing or displeasing, to remember to be the fragrance of Christ to you. Lord God, I thank you for your amazing promise in the book of Jude. And with that I close. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. May God bless you.